And we're back here on Community Matters. I'm Christopher Biddle. Our guests tonight, Kevin Alexander, is a biology professor at Western Colorado University in Gunnison, and he is chair of the Sustainable Tourism and Outdoor Recreation Committee. Thank you so much for joining the conversation tonight, Kevin.
Thank you, Christopher. Happy to be here.
And also tonight, joining us from somewhere near the front lines of the Pine Gulch fire is Matt McCombs, who is the district ranger for the Gunnison National Forest. Matt, are you able to find a good connection out there on the fire lines?
Well, you tell me, Christopher. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, you're sounding all right. Absolutely. So we've got a lot of submissions for our conversation tonight on public lands and people. I also want to let folks know that we're going to be speaking with Kevin Koblenz, who's president of Cattlemen's Days, later on to get an update on that. Our primary conversation tonight is, of course, with Kevin and Matt, and we hope that the public will join us in that conversation by calling in 970-349-7444, Community Matters here on KBUT. So starting off with where we are in a certain situation, we did just get a lot of local news, a lot of good news in there about current wildfire situation, but I'm hoping that Matt McCombs, you can provide us sort of an update on the wildfire situation where you are with the Pine Gulch fire, as well as around the state.
Sure, Christopher. Yeah, I'm currently assigned here as part of the Rocky Mountain Incident Management Team Type 1. I work in logistics in support of the firefighters here on the team. And, you know, we've made a lot of really good headway in the last few days. As of today, containment's up to 44%. And firefighters and crews continue to make really good headway every day. And we're hopeful that the upward swing in percent containment continues to advance. You know, the Pine Gulch fire sits at 133,000 acres, really only a few thousand acres shy of the largest fire in the state of Colorado history. We've got over 900 firefighting personnel operating here, doing an amazing job in some really tough conditions. I'm sitting here in my Forest Service vehicle with this call and looking at the dash, and it's 100 degrees. Now, I'm not sure how accurate it is, but I can tell you outside it's really hot. So all credit to these men and women. They're doing a fabulous job moving this fire in the right direction. You know, statewide, we've got four large fires with the Williams Fork and Cameron Peak fires on the Arapahoe-Roosevelt National Forest, respectively, the just north of Summit County and is the Williams Fork fire, and then the Cameron Peak fire is there in the Poudre Canyon. Each of those teams continue to make progress every day, and then you just let in with the Grizzly Creek fire, where I loved the headline I saw that it was the Hanging Lake Miracle, that you know, such amazing resources that took so long to establish there were spared from this very intense and aggressive fire. So the crews and the folks are doing a fabulous job. I tell you, every time I'm out with these teams and see these firefighters in action, I continue to be really astounded at the hard work that they do every day in really challenging conditions.
Sure. And, you know, I was a little concerned that wildfires might sort of hijack this conversation that we were going to have about public lands and people. But of course, it's very related. I believe that three out of the four major fires, excluding the Grizzly Creek fire, were all supposedly thought to be started by people. Is that correct?
You know, I think the majority of those ignition sources are still under investigation.
Sure.
At this point, I don't know.
Sure. No, that's fine. And that is, you know, something that we can bring up later on as we talk about this idea of people and public lands and increased use on our public lands. I'd like to make sure to get Kevin in on our conversation to begin with. Kevin, you are the chair of the STOR committee, that's Sustainable Tourism Outdoor Recreation Committee, concerning itself with the intersection of all those sustainability, tourism, outdoor recreation. First of all, for those of our listeners that might not be familiar with the STOR committee, can you give us as brief an explanation as possible? And then I got a follow up.
Sure. Yeah. And keep in mind, I'm just chair of this committee. So I really, everybody's doing the heavy lifting, and I just kind of help manage the meetings and agendas and things like that. But it came out of that One Valley Prosperity Project, and our county commissioners kind of started to pull that together with a charter and everything. And it's really, I guess the big goal is to kind of make sure that recreation in Gunnison County is a quality experience, and that we can maintain, you know, outdoor activities while also minimizing impacts to fish and wildlife and environmental conditions, things like that. And I think that's what's kind of made the STOR committee in Gunnison County unique, is that we've been working on that balance. And we've been getting a lot of positive accolades across the state as well, from Parks and Wildlife and things like that, because we are trying to manage that balance well. And then in our meetings, we have, you know, county commissioners to representatives from most of the towns and cities in Gunnison County, Parks and Wildlife. We have Matt McCone from the Forest Service there. We have BLM, Park Service, you know, the Tourism Association, stock growers, mountain bikers, winter recreation people. And we sit around and deal with these recreation impacts. How do we manage things? How do we keep the spectacular things in Gunnison County that we all enjoy, yet allow people to responsibly recreate?
Sure. Sure. And so just turning it back a little bit to the topic of wildfires that are burning across Colorado right now, I was surprised to find in the press just how quickly climate scientists were able to come together and quickly say that these fires are being driven by climate change. They're seeing record high temperatures, dry conditions, not only in this summer, but also in the spring, that has led to the intensity and proliferation of these fires. Does the STOR committee address something like climate change? Is that too global? Do you try to stick with more local issues? Of course, it could be argued that that is very much a local issue, but do you talk about climate change? Go ahead.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it dominates our conversations, but a lot of times it does have some underlying impacts on how we want to think about what kind of recreation exists in Gunnison County. And we've had conversations about the seasonality rotation of recreation. As you're seeing, we're having a lot of summer impacts now, and we may be declining in winter with climate change. And more of our committee really works more so on fine scale issues at a relatively small scale right now. Like, how do you handle the influx of people into, you know, Slate River and Washington Gulch around Crested Butte, things like that, are some of our higher priorities right now. How do we manage those people and that influx of people that are here to recreate or enjoy the natural beauty around? And how do we preserve that for the long term? And that does deal with climate change, but not necessarily directly.
Sure. So, and Matt McCombs, to try to sort of lean towards more of the main point of our conversation this evening, the Forest Service in the Crested Butte area has already planned, proposed, and I believe from what you told me earlier today, is actually implementing designated camping in all of the drainages around Crested Butte as a direct result of the increase in people coming. That was already in the works before the summer of COVID-19 here in the Gunnison Valley. And as I understand it, public lands are seeing a dramatic increase, even more than other summers. Is that what you're able to see this summer as well? Did you see a bump that you might be able to attribute to this new norm that we're all living in? That's for Matt McCombs.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I've been out on patrol probably more this summer than I ever have as a ranger. And, you know, a lot of my work is meetings and administrative duties, but I spent a substantial amount of windshield time just trying to increase field presence. It's been a all hands on deck response as far as the district's concerned to what is an obvious substantial uptick in visitation. And in the conversations that I've had, you know, primarily contacting campers and camp groups, is there's just not a lot going on, right? The leisure activity menu has been substantially reduced, and folks are discovering, rediscovering, and I think in many, you know, potentially positive ways, renewing their connection to public lands is a great outlet for themselves and their families. But in such substantial numbers that it certainly raised some concerns for me, and I know raised concerns throughout members in this community, because I'm hearing from you, my staff's hearing from you, and we're hearing those concerns out on the trail as well. So it's anecdotal, right? We don't have any hard science to make a specific linear connection between COVID and the uptick, but I would be very comfortable saying that there's an absolute direct correlation between the fact that there's just nothing to do where people are visiting from, as they've experienced a lot of, you know, shut in, and the public lands and the opportunities to just get out and breathe fresh air and be together is extremely appealing, and bringing them in very large numbers.
Sure. So that's Matt McCombs with the Forest Service. And interestingly enough, I have a quote that I'm going to play here in just a little bit of Sandy Snell-Dobert, who is a public information officer actually with the Park Service and Kirikani Blue Mesa. And she said something really similar. But Kevin, I'm wondering, in your interactions with other members of the STORE committee who may be observing similar or something different, but are you hearing that same are you hearing the same thing? Do you hear the notion that there are just more people out there?
Yeah, absolutely. And we were kind of pushing capacity even before the COVID in this summer. And people have been here a long time. You know, we're already starting to deal with, you know, the issues of high use in Taylor Park, high use in the drainages around Crested Butte. And then as Matt brought up with COVID in, and the direction from the governor's office and things like that to be outside, we've just seen a huge influx of people. And you go just about anywhere in the backcountry on any given weekend right now, and it's full.
Sure.
So, yeah.
So it's 16 minutes. Yeah, absolutely. It's 16, as are we. It's 16 minutes past 6 p.m. You're listening to Community Matters on KBUT. I'm joined by Kevin Alexander, who is the chair of the Sustainable Tourism and Outdoor Recreation Committee, and Matt McCombs, who is the district ranger for the Gunnison National Forest. And we're talking about public lands and people. Please join us by calling in your questions or comments, 970-349-7444. So I am going to play a clip right now, as I said, from Sandy Snell-Dobert, who is a public information officer with the Park Service. And I'm going to try to make sure to play this in a way that our guests can hear. Hopefully they can hear it. And we'll use this to sort of add to the conversation. But this is me asking Sandy Snell-Dobert about the traffic, about the increased usage that she's seeing in the Blue Mesa, Black Canyon, Kirikanti areas.
What we're seeing is an increase in reservations, particularly for both Elk Creek area and Black Canyon Campground. The reservations are very high and lots of people are using them. We're seeing, of course, with more people, an increase in trash, particularly just trying to keep up with trash. If we don't empty them often enough, people leave bags of trash outside, which causes problems with wildlife, of course. We're seeing an increase in use in the restrooms, especially along Highway 50 with the closure of I-70. We're really having a hard time keeping up with that. Normally, we have daily pickup around the campgrounds, and we try and hit those heavy use spots along the highway once or twice a day. And we're trying to keep up with that, but it just seems like we need even more.
So we're seeing an increase in usage across the board. Can you pinpoint any type of user? Are there any specific kinds of people that are coming out camping this year more so than others?
In talking with our fee collection folks, who are actually the ones who are out in the campgrounds a lot more than some of us, they're talking to a lot of people from the Front Range. And it seems like, you know, a lot of people are saying, hey, you know what, this is the first campground we've been able to find that is even semi-available. So I think it's a combination of a lot of campgrounds partially closing or completely closing due to the pandemic. And then just people, more and more people are camping this year, and I think that's that whole push to get outside rather than go to amusement parks and those kinds of things or their typical vacations. We're talking to a lot more people who are first-time campers, and we're seeing the results of that in campfires that are not put out entirely and just not the kind of campground ethic that we would normally see in a National Park Service campground.
So a lot of people camping for the first time, that's interesting. How much of a phenomenon is that this summer compared to last summer's? Is that a big increase this summer?
Well, normally, you know, in a summer, you might talk to one or two people who have never camped before. And this year it seems, and this is purely observational, but it seems like we're talking to people almost every day who have either never camped before or haven't camped in years. So I think that a lot more people are doing it. And, you know, some of them are renting camping units. Some of them are just loading the old tent up in the car and coming on out.
All right. So that's Sandy Sneldobert with the Park Service sharing a lot of the same observations that Matt McCombs and Kevin Alexander, who are our guests this evening, are sharing just about increased use in the backcountry this summer and specifically around a lot of first time campers. And to me, that brings up the question of education. I know that education and outreach has always been sort of part of the conversation here in the Gunnison Valley when it comes to sustainable tourism. However, Kevin Alexander, where are we at with that effort? I know that Mountain Manners was a program that existed. I don't know what is up with that right now, but I know that there are other programs that were looking to do the same thing. Can you give us an update on how we're looking to educate and outreach to folks that are coming and using public lands in Gunnison County?
Yeah, you know, we have received some GOCO funding for the store committee, and I think it was about $350,000 that has a stewardship component that's run through Joe Lavarini and the National Forest Foundation. And we have a store core, you know, store S-T-O-R for our committee and the core of people that are out there doing lots of public outreach and also doing, you know, a lot of trail maintenance, working on a variety of projects out in the field. We have an educational subcommittee that's focused primarily on messaging. So we've been working on uniform signage throughout the valley at major trailheads and river put-ins so that visitors and locals alike get uniform messaging on, you know, what's good stewardship out there in the backcountry.
Can I ask, is there any sort of tip of the spear to that effort to educate the way there was with Mountain Manners? Is there a specific group that is leading that charge?
Yeah, so our subcommittee, but also the store core, and then the helped fund the Crested Butte Conservation Corps, and they're out there in the field working on trail maintenance, campsites, and they're also making those connections with visitors, and that's the big part of the tip of our spear. I don't think there's a single one. And I don't think there can necessarily be a single tip of the spear. I think
sure.
It kind of has to be all of us. And we've been having a lot of conversations about how do you build that good culture so that people want to do the right thing and it's easy for people to do the right thing.
Sure. So, and Matt McCombs, with all the education in the world, with more people, you're still going to have more waste. And that's more of an infrastructure discussion. As we all know, the infrastructure for the camping resources, especially in the North Gunnison Valley, are about to change quite drastically. Can you give us kind of an update on where the Forest Service is at with the conversion from dispersed to designated camping in the North Gunnison Valley?
You bet. We focused the majority of our work this year in the Slate River and Washington Gulch drainages through a partnership with the Crested Butte Conservation Corps. We've made a lot of headway, and you'll see we haven't seen a significant amount of change just yet, but we're really kind of waiting. It's hard to work on campsite conversion when the campsites are full of folks. So as the season wanes a little bit and we get some lower occupancy, we'll be able to start installation of those new fire rings We'll start installation of some the signage, as well as continue to delineate those campsites so that each one that's numbered will have a really distinguishable footprint for campers when they set up. So we're making some headway. We're thinking it's going to take us the next at least 2 to 3 years to fully implement across all of what I lovingly call the, you know, seven kingdoms of Crested Butte. And we're very, you know, really this isn't possible without the partnership between the store committee, the Gunnison County Stewardship Fund, which is a financial expression of the store committee. And that match that the Forest Service was able to bring to the original GOCO grant and the commitment that the committee made to this work, it's really a true demonstration of like this shared stewardship concept where the local community and the Forest Service working together to address the most critical issues that we've identified. I'm really excited. Christopher, just real quick on infrastructure, something very exciting has happened as it relates to the Great American Outdoors Act, which was passed recently. That's going to send a lot of funding to the Forest Service over the next 5 years. And we just, in the most recent, our initial submittal, have earmarked funding for hopefully design and campsite, or excuse me, campground redevelopment at Irwin and Deer Lakes, which are two highly prized sites in sort of the north and south end of the district. And I think we're going to see a lot of investment and a lot of opportunities to address these issues in the next few years. And I'm really looking forward to the store committee in particular, and then of course feedback from members across the community to help shape where we want to prioritize those investments. Because this is kind of a once in a career thing for me to see this type of investment from the American people and their public lands to really get us back to where we should be as it relates to the sites that we offer.
Sure.
Recreation.
And Matt, because actually we have a listener submitted question that deals directly with the Great American Outdoors Act and funding what projects. I was wondering if you could be a little bit more specific about where the money from the Great American Outdoors Act will go towards locally. Somebody has,
sure.
Yeah, had written and asked that and wants to know more.
Sure. Yeah. So we're looking at sort of big forest wide things like, you know, we have a lot of toilets. You know, we just love to talk about toilets and as it relates to recreation management. We have a lot of them that haven't been upgraded in decades. And so forest-wide, we're going to target really big picture packages towards upgrading all those facilities. Fencing, as you know, fencing for the campgrounds that kind of delineate the footprint as well as allow us to be good partners with the cattlemen and women that utilize public lands for grazing. That fencing, that can be like a big forest-wide project to sort of upgrade that all at once. And then you look at like individual campgrounds where, you know, I think Irwin is a great example of where the day use area and the campground and are just not sufficient to the demand. And so we're going to look at how can we redevelop that site in a way that will allow high quality experiences while also getting us on a sustainable footprint. And if you look at campgrounds in the Taylor Park area, primarily in the park, not so much in the canyon, you know, there's a lot of work to be done there as well. And our goal is to sort of spend the winter to take a big assessment of the highest priorities and then start trying to knock those out one by one. The second piece will be really focusing on roads and trails that haven't seen a substantial amount of maintenance in a long time. You know, some of those backcountry trails in the wilderness, some of those roads that just don't get as much love because maybe perhaps they don't get as much use. This is an opportunity to really across the board hopefully substantially reduce that maintenance and really puts a nice shine on the facilities that the American people depend on as it relates to their public lands.